35 degrees, 324. It is Thursday. That means the Big Ten tournament has started in Indianapolis, and we're not there, man. We're here.
Yeah,
that's all right.
But the first game,
yes.
53 seconds left. It looks like ninth seeded, or is the eighth seed?
It'd be eighth seed.
Eighth seeded Northwestern going to beat ninth seeded Minnesota 74-60 with 40 seconds left.
Interesting. Minnesota 2-0 all time in the Big Ten tournament is the eighth seed. Northwestern. They're going to go 3-0. Minnesota 0-2 all time is a 9 seed. They're going to go 0-3.
There you go.
Whatever the heck
Michael
that means.
Michael Thompson, by the way.
What?
Did I tell you?
Yes.
35 points.
Oh, my goodness.
35 points.
And that's at least 5 3-pointers, so maybe more than that. Oh, this is terrible. Hey, we are going to shift, though, back to the NFL talks, correct? And we're going to welcome on former NFL player Fred Wakefield. Fred, how are you?
Good. I'm trying to mess up your flow. I don't want to try to throw Jeremy off beat because I know he's trying to talk basketball, and I know we can't keep things normal in there, can we?
No.
You guys are throwing me off, Fred. I'm furious right now.
Fred's trying to cut into Britt Miller's time because he feels like, whoa, you're having another guy on that plays in the NFL. So he's
Lordy. Well, shoot, Britt probably knows just as much as I do. He's still living that party, so it's kind of it's a little more hectic and scary for him than it is for me right now.
But. Oh, yeah. What do you think right now? I mean, has anything changed in your mind with this last week?
It's so crazy how it's kind of an ebb and flow right now because it seems like one day everybody's talking about how great it seems and how they're making headway, and the next day you hear about how terrible it is and how they're in dire need of getting things figured out. I mean, I was listening to the ESPN guys yesterday afternoon heading home, and they were all discussing about how things seem so much better. They've actually been talking about rookie caps and all these different things. And I was kind of shocked they had gotten that far into the discussion. And now it turns around and you're hearing, well, there's no way they're going to get this done by tomorrow, and everybody's just angry. And so I think the scariest thing is trying to figure out that we talked about this when I was in there a week or two ago. They can't get past that number. And then until they get past that number, nothing's going to happen. And I don't see them moving past it until the players decide, hey, we don't need to see as much, or until the owners start saying, hey, we're going to show you a little bit more. So we'll see what happens.
And, Fred, it seems like the players have a lot more leverage than they started this whole thing with.
You know, I don't know if it's leverage or is just swagger with the situation, because I don't know if they have any, because it's like they can do anything about it. They're either going to get locked out or they're not. They're going to have to, dissolve things or not. It's not like they can really say, hey, this is what we're going to do and deal with it. It's a matter of, hey, we've got to. They're doing a better job of standing their ground. I think at first people thought eventually the players would start giving, and they're not really giving very much, which I think is how it's going to have to work out when you're battling guys worth that much money.
All right, we have talked about this endlessly, but I always like to keep the listeners updated as to what we're doing, and I just asked Jeremy this, Fred. Basically, again, you guys help me out here. Basically, it's about a $9 billion operation. The first billion, goes to the owners.
That was the original collective bargaining agreement that we had that they just voided.
Okay, so the players liked everything that was going on, right? It's the owners that don't like this, and they want something different.
Right. What had happened was we were getting, I think it was like 59% of the next $8 billion, which I know is all pretty round numbers, but it doesn't come out to that exact number. But with that being said, that's how it was shaken out, and we were fine with that because we knew that they needed that extra billion to run things and, for stadium maintenance, that stuff that we don't have to mess with. Well, what's happened now is they're saying that they're losing money, which when it's grown as much as it has in the last, 4 or 5 years, shooting the last 2 years, it's hard to believe they're losing money. And so they're trying to say that they're losing money in terms of the stadium losses, and they're losing money in terms of how much you're having to pay a lot of these players, and with taxes and different things going up, they're saying they're losing money on that end. But they're not willing to prove it. Now, the thing that everybody's seeing on TV and hearing on the radio is that these NFL guys are coming out saying, well, we're giving the players more than they've ever seen, and for some reason that's just not good enough. If they want more, all they've got to do is ask, and that's a bunch of nonsense. I about used a word I probably shouldn't use on the air, but just because the whole situation is, they would be coming to a lot more of a conclusion if the players could see actually what was going on. Now, what exactly are they getting to see? We don't know, and we'll probably never know. But until that comes out and these owners are being more transparent, it's just there's not going to be much movement from the player side saying, hey, and the owners, instead of retreating, are saying, okay, well, maybe not another billion. Because they want to add another billion to the original billion. So it'd be two and then split seven. Okay?
Right.
And so when doing that, now they're saying, okay, maybe not another billion, maybe another 850 million. Okay, well then, if it's that easy to move off a billion, it's like they're just trying to see how much they can get.
Yeah, exactly.
Get a smaller bulk. So we'll see what happens.
Well, does this make you think that because the owners won't open up their books, and I understand, you know, I don't ask to see the books here at this, you know, at this radio station. I don't ask to say, all right, Stevie, you're paying me this much. I want to see how much this, blah, blah, blah. So I understand the right of the owners saying, no, this is our privacy. This is our, but does that make you think that because they won't release that, do you think it's simply because of that position that, hey, we don't have to, or do you think it's because they are making a lot of money and they're just trying to keep getting more?
Well, the situation is when you get into numbers like that, I mean, those guys all make a lot of money for a reason. They're smart guys. They've been doing it for a while. They've had other business they've been very successful with to be able to pull this off. So that being said, you never know which way it's really leaning. But I think the feeling the players get and most people are getting right now is that the owners are in a situation to where, hey, you know, they don't see how much we make. We can sit here with this economy the way it's been going the last so many years and say, hey, we're losing money here. We're losing money there. Now, if you look at games that were blacked out, you know, most of the state play teams aren't blacking out still, so you can't be losing much money that way. And if you are, you're still making so much money on the TV end of things that there can't seem to be much of a loss on that end. So it's just so hard to tell, you know, which things are leaning. Now, with regards to your comments on, yeah, it's not like you're going to go into Stevie and tell him, hey, I want to see your books. I think I should be making more money. I can see why people ought to see it. Feel that way, and I can totally understand where the owners come from, but at the same time, Stevie's not coming in saying, hey, we're going to take $1 billion out of your paycheck, you know, and then we're going to readjust everyone in the state, in the place around that. Well, right. You know, it's one of those things that, I mean, no offense to everybody in that station, but, you know, he'll go out and he'll find someone different. Well, the replacements movie that everybody's seen on TV, that doesn't happen. You know, you can't go out and just find a bunch of guys who can go and put together the game the way it is now.
Right.
And, you know, Keanu Reeves isn't going to go out there and light up the scoreboard.
Come on, we can find a Shane Falco.
Yeah, no kidding. And so that being said, it's just, it's as much as I can see the owner's point of view and things,
sure.
It's just on such a different level from other professions and sports to compare them in that way.
Talking with former NFL player Fred Wakefield, former Illini as well. NFL labor negotiations ongoing, deadlines at 11 o'clock tomorrow. And Fred, it seems like everybody's getting more vocal, a lot more rhetoric going on right now. It seems like they're preparing themselves for a lockout. I know you probably don't hear as much as you did when you were in the league, but what's your kind of feeling about what's going to happen tomorrow?
From the beginning, I'm pretty sure we've been talking about this. There's going to be a lockout. You know, it's just a matter if, and I actually got a little more optimistic over the last week when I heard all this, but mainly what it boils down to from the guys I've heard is that it's coming down to the fact that the owners, the only reason they gave us the extension is so they only like the bad guys who are just saying, hey, we don't want to mess with this, you know, piss off, we're going to shut you, lock you out. So that being said, I just don't see them making up that. We talked about the other day, you know, someone made the analogy, hey, they're at the 5-yard line and they've got to get to the 50. Well, they might have made it to the 15 by now, but they're not going to make it that of the 35 in 24 hours. It's hard to believe. And everybody is so chatty and angry right now, it'll be amazing to see if they make up that much leeway to even get another extension in place.
Well, Fred, they made it to the 15, but two Leonard Davis false starts have him back at the 5, right?
Hey, that was Leonard Davis, the Cardinal. He doesn't do that anymore. For some reason. I haven't figured that out.
Yeah, boy, isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing how that works? Well, Fred, we appreciate you calling in because I honestly love your input on this because you have been there, done that, and still have a stake in it. So keep in touch with us. Should something break today or tomorrow, give us a call back. We'd love to hear from you.
Sounds good. I'll be over at the tournament tomorrow, so I'll be a little harder to reach. We'll see what happens.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, so now he's untouchable.
While you guys are in the station, I'll be watching the end of the Illinois game, I think, and waiting for the next one. So we'll see what happens.
Well, we'll try not to bother you there, then.
Hey, make sure you realize I pointed out replacing Lon, not Jeremy. You're unreplaceable, buddy.
Yeah, so. Thanks, Fred. Appreciate it.
Yeah, he doesn't like the flow you go, though, so that could be bad on your end.
I love it.
All right, thanks, Fred.
All right, fellas.
See you, Fred.
Fred Wakefield. So, yeah, he gets to go to the Big Ten tournament. We don't.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Well, we're going to try and get in contact with Brett Miller. We plan on having him on next. But if we don't, we can switch over to Big Ten tournament talk. Northwestern did win. 75-65.
I'm just glad it's over so Thompson can quit scoring.
Michael Thompson set a Big Ten tournament record, 35 points. We'll be back on the Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3.
The new Connect FM. 93.5, 95.3, Tay and Jay Show. It is 3:37. Northwestern has won at the Big Ten tournament thanks to Juice Thompson going all crazy on us.
Tournament, Big Ten tournament record, 35 points and a 75-65 win. Ohio State is next.
So Ohio State's next for Northwestern. They dispose of Minnesota, and that Minnesota team, I think it's just good for them to be done.
Yeah,
they just need
there.
To get out of here. So, but we're shifting gears. We're staying, I'm sorry, with football. We just talked to Fred Wakefield, former NFL player, and now we're going to talk to current NFL player, former Illini. He's the pride of Decatur. It's Britt Miller. Britt, how are you, buddy?
Oh, pretty good. How you guys doing?
Doing great. Not doing great.
Now, you were just in Champaign heading back to Decatur. Are you over here for any fun reason?
No, not. I mean, it's always fun to go to the alma mater and stuff, but I actually got to ship north for, labor disputes and stuff like that. We're actually unable to do our rehab, and I'm kind of in that situation right now with my knee. So I'm doing my rehab up at the University of Illinois. You got to get to a place where they can count on that you'll get better when you're not able to join your team. So St. Louis Rams shipped me up there, and I've been able to go to Champaign about 4 days a week, so I'm enjoying it. But I'd rather be, down there with the Rams and doing my thing down there. But that's just kind of the cards we're dealt right now.
And Britt, just talk to us about how it's affected you. This whole NFL labor dispute, the lockout that seems like it's going to happen, has affected a current player.
Well, I'm in kind of a unique situation, obviously, with the injury, but I think, just being kind of the league average player, I think that's the guy that it affects the most. I mean, we're the guys that have to play in the most. Obviously, being injured, you have to bat on top of it. But, the guys that make millions every year, in my opinion, they should be all right through something like this. I mean, a little bit of labor disputes, but, guys got to put their money back. And that's the majority of the NFL that, I'm kind of referring to. Is those are the guys that are going to be hit hardest by this thing. And, I'm anxious to see what happens. I definitely, I'm a union guy, being from Decatur, being a Central Illinois guy. So, I definitely think we need to do what's right by us. And, unfortunately, it's just one of those times that we got to stick to our guns and get it done.
Former Illini NFL player, plays for St. Louis Rams, Britt Miller, joining us right now, talking about the labor dispute a little bit. And Britt, what's this uncertainty like for you? I mean, is this stressing you out a little bit?
Yeah, I enjoy being home. I was able to go to my grandma's last night and get good food and, pass out by about 8, which was nice. But it is. I got a new baby, 4-month-old, Macy Michelle Miller.
Congrats.
I've got a girlfriend that's depending on me. And, a big year coming up as far as my contracts go. It's a negotiation year for me, a chance to, solidify myself as an NFL guy for a long time. And, to not be able to do the amount of work that you want to be able to do, because of labor disputes, that can get under your skin a little bit. But, one thing I always said, one thing I was taught since the day I've been in the NFL is that you're a professional now. It's on you to get the job done. And, whether I'm in St. Louis or I'm in Champaign or Decatur, I operate that way, and I try to get the job done. I'm trying to get healthy and, put myself in a position to be in the league next year again.
Now, Britt, I've always understood that a no question is a dumb question, so I'm going to throw this out. I don't know. If this thing extends and they lock you guys out, and I understand that you guys get paychecks only during the season, so obviously you guys are kind of used to that, but if this continues and you get locked out for an extended period of time, can you go work? Can you find another job, or are you obligated not to?
No, you can work, and I think, there's some guys that do. Last year, I was an employee of a local, hospital, DMH, Decatur Memorial here in Decatur, and, I did work with kids, and I think that's, I encourage other people to do that, too, because, we have the gift now of, being an NFL player and being able to share with them and work out with them, and, but, obviously, you always have to be ready, and you don't want to put any other employer in a bad situation. By working for them and then not being able to, fulfill your obligations. So, I'm in a situation now where, if it extends and it looks like it's going to be that way for a long time, I might do that. But, you know, since that isn't the case right now, you know, I'm just going to kind of hold tight, keep working out, and, you know, work on the knee for a while.
That is current St. Louis Ram Britt Miller from Decatur. He played at the University of Illinois. Britt's going to hold on with us through this break. We'll be back on the Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3.
Connect FM.
93.5, 95.3, Tay and Jay Show, 3:45 Thursday. We are on the phone with NFL player, plays for the St. Louis Rams, Decatur Eisenhower quarterback. Really? Britt
right.
Miller. And Britt, I know in the NFL, you first started with the Carolina Panthers, but were cut by the Panthers. And you were telling me between the break there that it was actually the best thing that could have happened, right?
Yeah, you know, I was actually one of the first guys let go. And, you know, at the time, that's the first team I've really ever been cut from. And one of those things that, you know, I thought my career in football was over. You know, I knew that, or I at least thought that I didn't get a fair shake out there. And, you know, I knew I could play with the guys that were surrounding me at the time. And when I got let go, you know, the GM came on and, you know, he's got to cut you and stuff. And he just told me, he said, Britt, he's like, you don't think it now, but we are doing you a favor by letting you go now. And, you know, so I had a whole summer to think about it and really, you know, kind of use that to my advantage of maybe getting a little bit even, you know. And I got picked up by the Niners about 18 hours later. But obviously there was nothing going on at the time because OTAs were over. It was just, you know, I had a month by myself to get ready for, of all things, to play offense again. I was playing fullback out there for the 49ers. I'd never played offense, you know, since the Eisenhower days, obviously. And I was a little less complicated. You know, that was Britt run right and Britt run left. And, you know, so I went in and with the 49ers and I had a great coach heck, I'm forgetting his name right now. He's one of the best. Played for the 49ers. Coach Tom, no, Coach Justin.
Not Rathman.
Yeah, Coach Tom Rathman.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I call him Rath. You know, you get so many coaches these days. But so Coach Rathman, you know, he's the guy. He thought I'd played fullback before, so he just laid into me all the time. And so that was pretty motivational to get my stuff together. And then, you know, after we kind of got our differences settled, he ended up being one of the best teachers of the game I've ever had. So, you know, that helped me out tremendously.
Talking with
Britt. And then played there for the year. I was on practice squad for 11 weeks. And but I won a practice squad award every week just to prove to them that I was ready to play. And then I finally got my chance and kind of been playing ever since.
We're talking with Britt Miller, NFL player, plays for the St. Louis Rams, former Illini. And Britt, I have to admit, I walk into this cautiously, but I never thought you could make it in the NFL. I mean, I saw you play in college, and I loved watching you play in college. But then I saw you in the pro day. I think you ran like a 4.640. I said, where did that come from?
come on now.
No, I love it. I mean, it's just the sneaky athleticism you got.
Well, you know, chubby people always get the glass half empty view put on them. But you know, one thing I've always learned is I've excelled in athletics, and it didn't matter. You know, I like beating everybody, so it didn't matter if you're stronger or faster and littler. You know, I never thought anything about that. And I was judged. I was judged as a guy. You know, I was short. I was chubby, and you know, I made plays, but we were in a run dominated conference, and so I had all those things against me, and, you know, those were things I needed to prove wrong. And I think, you know, now running down on special teams, making plays in the open field, being the first guy down the field, you know, that to me is my chance to prove people wrong that, you know, the Big Ten, not only as a conference, but somewhere I played, and, you know, people may look down on me as not being a fast player or something like that. If I'm not a fast guy, why aren't you beating me down there?
Yeah.
Or why can't you get away from me, you know? And that's just something I, you know, kind of take pride in these days. But, I mean, I've dealt with that a lot, too. Like, I definitely respect your opinion.
Right.
I heard that a lot coming out. But I've never taken no really well. You know, if we had my mom on this station right now, she'd probably tell you the same. She'd tell me no, and I'd say, just tell me maybe.
Nice.
And then, you know. And I hope my daughter doesn't act that way, but, you know, it worked out well for me.
Yeah, Brett, I mean, I think every Illini fan is really proud of what you've done, and now you're in the same backfield as Steven Jackson. Wow. I mean, when you're back there, do you sit there and go, wow, I can't believe I'm here? I mean, what's it like for you to actually line up next to Steven Jackson and go against some of the better linebackers?
Well, it's really weird because it's like, you know, not all the time is your running back bigger than your fullback.
He's huge.
Yeah, no, he's not bigger than me. He looks bigger than me, but I actually weigh more. I probably pack a little bit more of a punch, but, you know, he's a future Hall of Famer probably, and he's one of those guys. It's not like, oh, my gosh, I'm Steven Jackson back here with me. I'm so cool. It's more like, oh, my gosh, I better not mess up because Steven Jackson will kill me. So you go out there, you respect the man, but you know that, you know, you're in front of him to make holes and make that stuff easy on him. So
and
you know, I look at it that way more so than anything.
And, Brent, you're playing behind Sam Bradford, who had an unbelievable rookie season. Could the Rams themselves believe how good Bradford would be right out of the gate?
Well, you know, I got in there a little late. I got in there week two. And, you know, at first he was kind of the enemy for me, coming from the same conference over from the 49ers. And I didn't know how good he was going to be. You know, I didn't watch a lot of Big 12 coming up. But there was a lot of hype. He's the man. He's the guy with the money. He's the guy, you know, setting records as far as, like, paydays and things like that. And then he comes out and he earned every bit of it, which was beautiful to me because, you know, a lot of these rookies sometimes get touch. And Sam's one of those guys that kind of set it straight. And, you know, there can be guys that are ready to go. And Sam is that guy. I mean, he throws bullets. He's on the money. He knows what – he's right on the game plan every week. I mean, there's nothing better than playing with a quarterback that's like that.
Perfect. Brent Miller, we've got about 30 seconds. What do you have to do to make sure you're on that Rams roster next year?
You know what? Just keep playing football like I do. I grew up in Decatur, playing close now. But if you play football hard and you're consistent, There's a place on rosters for you, and it can be proven anywhere in the nation now. And now that I know that, it gives me confidence. I'm glad that I'm back home because a lot of my friends and family can come watch me in person, and right. I get to see them on a regular basis. But you know, as long as you play hard and fast, and I feel like I do that, then hopefully I'll be on that team.
Well, Brent Miller, keep proving all of us wrong, buddy.
Hey, ain't nothing better.
I love it.
Thanks, Brent.
All right, we'll see you guys.
All right, that is Brent Miller, former Illini, current St. Louis Ram, and former Decatur Eisenhower quarterback. That was funny what he said. Brent left, Brent right, and that's about what it was. I would watch WAND highlights when he was playing, and it was that. He'd take the snap, run left, take the snap, run right.
He's a big guy, and like we said, he's got sneaky speed.
He does.
Sneaky speed. We'll be back on the T&J Show, 93.5, 95.3.
The new Connect FM.